Dimp Digital presents Idle Game Chat.
Cool!
Hello there, apps from Dimp Digital, and welcome to Idle Game Chat. We are back in your life for another week of video game chat. This time, you've got myself and Mr. Tom Adcock, Pac-Man himself, talking about the Shadow of Rose DLC from Resident Evil Village. So a bit late this one, but we both decided to pick this up and give it a run through. Not an overly long piece of content, but I think we both wanted to finish off the story content that Capcom decided to put out in regards to Resident Evil Village. Anyway, I won't keep you any longer. As usual, we will see you on the other side.
Alright, Biff here.
So, Spider-Man 2, good, not great. I thought it went on a little bit too long. Combat was still quite good. Hadn't really messed around with it too much. Story was okay, but it was pretty good. But again, I just felt like it dragged a little bit. It just went on and on and on and on. And I think they could have wrapped it up a bit quicker. So, yeah. Probably give it a gold, not a platinum. But, yeah, it was good, but I don't think it was as good as Miles Morales. I think that's still the pinnacle of the three. But yeah, worth a play, but nothing to blow my mind.
Here we are then, back with some game impressions. To close out this edition of Idle Game Chat, you got apps here, joined by Pac-Man himself, Tom Adcock. How's it going?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks, mate. Not bad.
Excellent. We're here to both talk about a piece of DLC. So I actually have been on a bit of a DLC tear this last few months, playing all manner of stuff. But I wasn't sure on your views on DLC. I mean, often you'll just not go back to a game because it's been traded, obviously a physical man, and therefore expansions and things don't normally get a look in. But for Resident Evil Village, and in particular the Shadow of Rose or Shadows of Rose expansion, it drew you back in. So I want to start there. Why has Shadows of Rose caused you to go out of your way to reacquire this game potentially and spend a bit of money and jump into this expansion? Because the game, when did it come out? 2020? So going on 4 years old by the time people listen to this or watch this. So, yeah, talk to me about that process and why this has got the nod.
I think it's two things. I think first of all, is your tear up and talking about all the DLC and, you know, reminded me how good that game was. Mm. And two, I think I'd heard previously that the expansion let you play the main game in third person.
Yes.
And I tore through that game when I played it. And I can't, apart from knowing that I enjoyed it, I can't really remember many of the beats of it. So I thought, do you know what? I really do fancy going back to it. So I think I looked on the PS store and it was maybe £12 for the game.
Mm.
And I think, was that with, no, I think the DLC was another price, but like £6 or something. It wasn't expensive.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you know what? I'm up for it. So yeah, that was the thinking behind it.
Yeah. I mean, I got the Winter's expansion pack and it was on offer. I think it was under a tenner by the time it came through, and I had the game on Steam, so it was kind of just sitting there, and I've been meaning to go back to it. They kind of claimed that this is closing out the Winter's story arc, so it'd be interesting to see what they do in terms of, I guess, new Resi games rather than remakes with this, and the fact that they've converted a first person game into a third person game with an extra mode kind of makes me wonder whether they're done with first person altogether, but maybe we'll talk about that at the back end. But yeah, you mentioned you tore through Resident Evil Village. I mean, I remember you enjoying it. I can't remember the specifics of it, but I think since they kind of re-establish themselves as actually good games with Seven and Bio and the Biohazard and then Village. I felt like you've enjoyed both of those, plus the remakes that have been offered from Capcom.
Yeah, I think that's the thing I said that to you when we reviewed Four. I love this kind of, you know, more, I prefer the third person, but the first person games they're doing are great. They still feel much like Resi, but new twists. So having kind of one every, 2 years, I don't know how it's kind of coming down the pipeline. It feels like that. There's always, it's never too much. I ain't going into Marvel territory, but it's a nice steady stream of good quality games. So yeah, you can't complain with that.
No, absolutely not. Here's a quick rundown of the store page. They actually don't give away a lot at all. And this is for the Winter's expansion. I don't know if you can get the Shadows of Rose separately on Steam or something, but it was bundled in when I got it, so it was what it was. And I think nowadays we've got a gold edition lurking, which includes all this. So people that are perhaps buying it afresh, maybe that's the best way to do it. Get the base game and the expansions in the gold edition. But here we go. Experience brand new additional content from the award-winning modern horror masterpiece Resident Evil Village. Cocky, innit? Call it a masterpiece. Good lord. Third-person mode. Play the main story from an entirely new perspective. So that's what you mentioned earlier. The Mercenaries additional orders. Three new characters join the fray, including the statuesque Lady... Oh, Dimis... Oh, I remember... When the game came out, I knew how to pronounce the name and I've forgotten. Dimitrescu? No, I can't, fuck it.
Oh, yeah, I can't. Let me. Yeah,
the
Lady
big
Demetrius.
Woman that's in the game. We all know her. Some say sexy, some don't. Not for me to comment. Anyway, controllable for the first time. So you can actually play her in that mercenary modes. And then Shadows of Rose, which is what we're here to talk about. A new scenario starring a grown up Rose, Ethan's beloved daughter, whose kidnapping as a baby kicked off the original Village story. So we are treated to quite a time jump in terms of. In terms of context, and we'll definitely be speaking about that. Just quickly, I've not played the third person mode. Sorry, I think you're umming and ahhing about it, but when newer games come down the pipe, it's kind of difficult to justify it. But in terms of mercenaries, this is something we never talk about, and they're always in the games. Is there a Resident Evil 4? Neither of us touched it. Village was much the same. What are we doing? Should we one day just sit down and give these games a whirl for an afternoon? But I've just never had any interest in jumping into like the horde-based mode with Resident Evil, even though the mechanics are pretty sound, so should be fun in theory.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because this is the first... I actually did give it about two rounds worth. Yeah, I did actually, first time ever, and I just don't think they're for me, you know, because they're obviously... They turn it into much more of a... But action, I mean, these games are a bit more action heavy, I guess, once they kind of get into the final third, at least. But this is all out, you know. It's almost like you're playing Call of Duty, running around that like main village in that first bit. So I've done a couple of rounds of it. I was just like, it's fine. And I'm sure it gets a lot of fun when you unlock the characters, but it ain't what I'm here for. So
no.
I think that would be my first and last. But yeah, you might like it. I don't know where you stand on those sort of games. So
I just...
The mechanics...
I don't know. Once I'm done with the game, I'm kind of like, I remember Callisto Protocol had something like that. And I gave a round or two to that after I'd finished the DLC for it. And I was like, yeah, it's fine, but I've got no urge to go and get a higher score. Like, I've done it once. That's my watermark. I done felt like I did pretty well. I don't know how well you're supposed to do, but I'm just like, no, I'm not really here for that. Like, it just waters down the experience slightly, but, you know, each their own. People love it. And you can get... I think there's only certain things you can unlock, like for your story playthroughs by doing that. So I can see why people do make the effort to do it. But not for me, and probably never will be. But it's there if people want it. Shadows of Rose, then. So, yes, we are taking control of Rose, who... I mean, people that have tuned into this, if you've not played the Resident Evil Village, like... There's probably this picks up as many years after that, but we may be referencing things of that. I don't know why I listened to a DLC impressions part. There's no other game coming at the end of this podcast, so just skip to the end or just pause it and save it for another day. But we will talk about the main game, just either by proxy. But because Rose appears to have inherited some level of powers from either Ethan or being exposed to the mold. I can't remember exactly what the story was, but she was like, as it mentioned in the write-up there, a little wee nipper when Village is going on. And what is she, maybe 16 in this?
Felt
like that sort of age, and clearly under some sort of monitoring or control or working for some shady organisation because of said powers. And they make it quite clear that she's quite feared. There's a little interaction early on with one of the sort of like her handlers, or maybe it's even a driver. I'm not sure what his deal is. He might be insulted here in that he's just been busted down to show for, but he kind of tries to make a smart remark and she really doesn't take kindly to that. And he's rightfully kind of frightened of what she can do. But anyway, we get to play as Rose. This is third person, so there's no option to play this in first person, which I think is a little bit strange considering the main game was originally first person. Did you yearn for a first person version of this? Or if you had the choice, do you think you would have stuck with the Village original or just gone with third person as it's going to be sort of a new, fresh option for you?
Because I prefer third person generally, I was fine with it. But I guess I'm trying to think, because first person it's scarier, isn't it? Because you're less able to manipulate some of like the viewpoints and things in a first person mode. So I guess there's that element, and especially they revisit one of the levels that was pretty terrifying in Village.
Yeah.
So potentially missing something with that, but with the with the new enemies there, perhaps third person does work better there. So no, I was fine with third person, to be honest. I knew what I was getting into. Didn't really think much of it, because when I think of Resi generally, I always think of third person.
Yeah. We're playing this also in a post-Resident Evil 4 world. So we've had hands on that, gone through that entire scenario, like much bigger game. Did you find that the third person perspective, either controls or combat, wasn't up to snuff to like Resident Evil 4. Resident Evil 4 just felt a bit more refined, and obviously this was released before that, but it was interesting having that sort of backwards context of playing the newest game, going back to this and saying, oh, yeah, there were clearly a few maybe teething pains of this, although they did do Resident Evil 2. I mean, maybe it's different teams and whatnot, but I did notice that, because this is not quite a fast follow to Resident Evil 4, but we both played it in the last 12 months, so it felt quite fresh still.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was just... I don't judge the mechanics of games so much. And because I was aware of that I was playing what was surely a first-person game, you know, environments and stuff in the third person, it didn't feel, like, quite up to snuff. It was fine.
Yeah.
But I know exactly what you mean, but I don't know if I was second-guessing it because I knew that, obviously... this was originally a first-person endeavour, so, yeah.
Yeah. I clocked in the playthrough at 2 hours and 49 minutes, and I think it... I don't know if it includes times for deaths, so if I died, I think it just reset the clock to my checkpoint clock. When you pause it, it completely stops the clock, seemingly. So if you're in the inventory screen pissing around, that doesn't count. So it's quite a brisk kind of level piece of DLC here, and the reason why I say that is that keep that in mind. I don't think you're going to have to squeeze much more than 3 hours out of this, even if you're a slow player or you want to find everything. Maybe 3.5 at a push. I was reasonably thorough, but not quite so much towards the back end. And it's kind of split into three acts or three chapters. I can't remember exactly how they're described. I would say that the 1 and 2 are fine. They're actually very different, and perhaps we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. But the third act itself isn't a fully fledged act as such. It's quite a bit shorter and is the climax of the DLC. So don't go in expecting three kind of full segments, full like revisiting of locations. It's kind of two plus a sort of an epilogue part that you play through and go through like the big ending, I guess. But how did you find the length of it? How did you find revisiting older places? Did this feel like it was a worthwhile endeavour? I mean, it's not a lot of time to invest, so arguably you could play a load of old shit for 3 hours and not really feel that aggrieved by it. But in terms of what you was expecting, was you expecting it to be as brisk as this?
Probably not. I loved it, like as in what they had there, and especially the first two chapters, I guess. And I was really keen to see what the third was, because, you know, there's a couple of other pretty iconic locations in Village, and I was like, where are they going to take me now? And you know, you kind of, you went, when I realized where I was and who was there, I was like, well, hang on, is this the end of it now?
Yeah.
And it kind of was, and I was like, oh, so I'm not, it's just kind of really a prolonged boss battle.
Yeah.
So I did feel a little bit shortchanged at that point. Not shortchanged, because I didn't pay a lot for it, and 3 hours, I think I probably went just over 3 hours, I don't know, but I just wanted a bit more, is all. Mm. Love what I did with the first two. Would have just liked to, you know, a fully fledged third chapter, and then I would have been made up.
Yeah, so we get to visit the castle. We go back to that big castle, and we get to roam around parts of that. And then we also get to visit the spooky house, which anyone that's played the original will know what we're talking about. And it's a very similar setup for that as well. So if you enjoyed that kind of change of pace, you've got it again here. Arguably, this is more terrifying because of some of the twists some of the things they add to it. I think the third person mode really saves it from that perspective, because doing that in first person would have been unbelievably scary. So maybe that was the whole reason why it's only in third person for that one segment. But I really liked the kind of the blend of these two chapters. You've got more of a traditional, not combat heavy, but more exploration, puzzle, combat, you know, fighting off creatures and whatnot in the first kind of part. And then the second one is, as I said, much like the spooky house, of stealth, bit of puzzle solving, eeriness, and just really putting the survival horror back into you. How did you find revisiting these two old places and I guess the distinction between the two?
Well, that's it, yeah. And I feel like, I don't want to say anything, spoil anything for anyone, but like, who's kind of the enemy in chapter one, I thought was quite unique. I enjoyed that. I was like, okay, cool, nice little spin on things. And then going back to the house and then realizing how they've remixed what was arguably my favorite section of the original into perhaps something better. I mean, sort of vibing off a bit of Doctor Who, which I thought was good. And I really liked, you know, as you start realizing where it was kind of going, and then when it all comes to life and that last bit, I was like, hang on, this is fucking awful. really clever. Really enjoyed that. I think they've done very well with those two.
Yeah, I agree. It was nice having that difference between them, because I was thinking, oh, it's just another part like the first part. It's might get a little bit old. I don't know why I thought that, but it wasn't, because they basically remove all your tools from you as you do when you enter that place, and it's, you don't get them back till you get out. Hopefully you get out at some point. How did you find in the opening part the kind of the mix of combat in there? Because they change it up a little bit here. I'm not sure you quite feel as powerful as what Rose could be. And they kind of explain why, because you're dropped into this place and weak and whatnot, and sort of figuring things out. And you do get more powerful as things go on. But how did you find this kind of twist in the combat? It's not like traditional finding ammo and whatnot. And there's, you know, using the powers to break different sort of mold type obstructions and enemies and whatnot. It was quite a bit different to what we're used to with Resident Evil.
Yeah, it's a little bit, I guess. I mean, it probably wasn't as much as I thought, which I think often is the case with these games, where they then, you know, say there's, you know, I don't know how the Callisto Protocol DLC was, because there was a power in that, wasn't there, or something?
You got a new weapon.
A hammer or something.
It gave you a new weapon, which meant you could, you know, destroy the rank and file enemies quicker, but they introduced a new enemy, which meant you had to fight it the same as you did with the rank and file of your old weapon. So they just made a bigger enemy that did the same thing. It's a bit of an odd thing, but each to their own, I guess.
Because I might be misremembering, but I think Rose's power was really just the unlocking the little paths with a mold cover in it, and then it would stop the enemies, pause them for a minute, wouldn't it? Is that
you could like stun them, and
extent of what it done. So I was like, you know, it's fine. It was a little bit different, I guess, but not anything crazy. You know, you still got your pistol, your shotgun, and it felt probably more similar than I expected it to, considering I was playing as a very different character, I guess. Like Ethan in Village, she's had some kind of military training or whatever, because of whoever's knocking around looking after her, putting her on these missions or whatever.
I think Ethan says in like Village that he's been reading up books or something. You can go and like find them in the house early on. So I do appreciate those little wrinkles being added.
I think they did add some like one line of dialogue to sort of explain how he's a bit better with the weapons. But so I'm guessing Rose has had similar training maybe in her life. But yeah, it was fine. It was like it didn't rewrite the will or whatever it is. And it was probably more familiar than I expected it to be.
Yes, indeed. What did you think of the kind of the brief story they kind of told here? Like I said, teed up to be the closing chapter of the Winters family involvement in Resident Evil. I don't know if I got that vibe, having played through it. It felt like they could absolutely like continue this and do other things, but I guess with Rose being positioned as someone who's got sort of abnormal powers, you don't want to place the player in the shoes of that again, because you'd expect to be powerful rather than, you know, the scary parts of Resident Evil is that you're often, you know, on the back foot under the cosh with just sort of normal weapons to deal with abnormal things. But in terms of a story kind of closer, if it does indeed end up being that, satisfied, unsatisfied? I feel like I've still got questions about quite a few things. It's like, I don't know if they're just fibbing.
Probably the weakest part if what you're saying comes to the truth, because you know they left village, you know, open quite a lot. Obviously not maybe with Ethan, although you never know with that mold sort of knocking around what can be done. And then obviously his daughter at that point, well, it was at the graveyard or whatever a few years later, wasn't it? So she's then introduced as like a young woman or whatever, teenager.
Yeah,
this just didn't feel like it kind of moved the story on, really. Like, it's a weird... I don't think I realised when I got it or played it that it was to be the finale of that. Yeah, and also, you just assume games, you know, are going to come in trilogies. You know, if two are successful, you're like, well, round it off, even if there's probably no need to do so. So it seems odd to do it as two and a very short bit of DLC. So it was fine as a piece of DLC and kind of almost like a, you know, bit of content that neither ruins the story or moves it on. Just harmless, you know, a bit of side to it, really. But
yeah,
probably the weakest part of the game, really, in terms of, just the fact that they're saying, claiming that this then closes out, you know, two really good games, really. Seems to go out on a bit of a... And I mean, I know the stories are not what you're here for, really, but it does seem a bit of a flat note to go out on.
Yeah. I mean, here's what they said. I mean, I've pulled it up just to make sure I wasn't... Because sometimes I don't know if I dream stuff and then it becomes reality, which, you know, might be close to another game we're playing at the moment in terms of books being written and whatnot. But here's the quote from... Speaking to IGN... Kinoshita-san from Capcom says, creating the Shadows of Rose story to conclude the Winters family saga. That's why they did it. So it's in black and white there. That's what it's there to do. But yeah, I would agree in terms of a bit weaker on that front, on the narrative side. I mean, like you said, it was fine. It didn't like foul the nest of the first two games. Offered a little bit of extra insight, I guess, into some things and maybe did shut a few doors, but certainly there's intrigue about, you know, what could be done going forward with Rose and whatnot. And I still feel like there's other questions that could have been answered and wasn't. So we'll see. I mean, Resident Evil are always a bit funny with their story arcs, aren't they? They're always all over the place. Like if you go from 1 through 6, I mean, the nonsense that transpires during that saga, plus all the spin-offs and whatnot. I mean, it's crazy. So maybe we shouldn't expect anything more than that. And, just be satisfied that we've got a little slice of village to go back to and mess around with. Have you got any other comments or criticisms about Shadows of Rose? If not, we'll draw it down and have a little chat about
it. I don't think so, because it was just short and sweet, really, wasn't it? It's not really a whole lot to go on. I think they chose two really good locations, mixed them up in a nice way.
Yeah.
I don't know how much it was at launch. I got it for a good price, so I'm not going to complain with the length particularly.
And
a sort of harmless, if not, you know, anything more than that story. So, yeah.
I do remember this was the game where they released Resident Evil Village and then suddenly were like, oh, people like this, let's make something more. So
right.
It does feel a little bit like that. that mm-hmm. it was like, oh, what could we do? And they're like, well, we could do this. And they're like, all right, how long is that going to take? And they're like, a year? And they're like, all right, we'll go with that then. So, yeah, it does feel a little bit like that. But nonetheless, enjoyable to go back. It had been over 2 years since I'd played it, I think, and probably the same for you. So didn't feel as much rust as what I have done in other DLC adventures. And that's probably because it kind of puts you in at quite base level, and it ramps up reasonably quickly, but it gives you enough time to, yeah, you know, acclimatise. At least I felt that anyway.
It's the same.
You get to acclimatise yourself and you're not being overwhelmed like immediately. Like, it waits a little while for that. So I did appreciate that, because that's been one of my pet peeves with these DLCs. People saying, well, you've got to play them when they come out. And I'm like, yeah, but they're still a year after they come out, half of them. That's still so long when you've played like 12 other games in between it. Nonsense. They need to pull the fingers out their asses. Anyway, time to do the formalities. Shadows of Rose for Resident Evil Village, Mr. Adcock. Is it going to go in your gaming gallery and be recognised under our platinum, gold, silver or bronze banners?
Yes, sir.
Excellent. Same for me. And where would you like to place it under said banners?
I'll give it a very solid silver.
Yep, I'm going to copy that and do the same. Nice and harmless, good in many aspects. A little bit weak on the story front, but overall, I enjoyed returning to Resident Evil Village in this way, and kind of looking forward to what, as always, it's been. It feels like that's a bit of a broken record now. Every time Capcom released something to do with Resident Evil, we're like, oh, looking forward to going back to that. And it's like, yeah, well, they've been absolutely on fire with it. With this kind of switch from first person to third person for a piece of DLC, are you anticipating they're done with first person now for these mainline ones? And the fact they've said Winter's Family Saga's done as well, so we're bookmarking that, and we're like, well, all right, we weren't, but you can do what you like. If they are going to move on to greener pastures, does this feel like they're going to just go back towards a third person? Because I will say, I really enjoy the change between mainline current ones being first person and the remakes being third person. I like that balance going back and forth between them. So I hope that's not the case, but this just seemed like a bit of maybe a tell that that's what they're planning, if they're releasing DLC that's only in third person for the like the main sort of story scenario.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I hadn't really thought about it, but it is an interesting take. And I agree with you. I like the mix between the first and the third. Like, it's the best of both worlds then. I mean, it's an interesting choice of words, like closes out the Winters family. Doesn't mean now, you know, because obviously in both games, you kind of, towards the end, you get some of the old characters returning.
True, yeah.
So you could have something where you play a more traditional character, but in that same sort of rebooted world, you know, to kind of see out. I mean, like I said, I can't even really remember the cause of the mold and stuff in these games.
I can't remember. Like, it's all linked anymore. Exactly. Yeah, so, I've forgotten that as well.
Do they chase it up? Does Rose come in as a cameo or something? Yeah. I don't, you know, it can easily still be in that world, but, you know,
she could be like the new Wesker.
Exactly. Like, you know, like, powers. So yeah, no, I'd like to see at least one more in first person. Before they, I don't know what they would do to kind of differentiate again, but you know, they're quite happy to experiment with these games, clearly. So yeah, whatever happens, I'm sure it'd be good.
Yeah, I hope they stick with first person in some capacity. I'll tell you what I don't want. This is the worst of all worlds. Is a choice. I don't want. I don't want to boot that game up and be sitting there wondering what the right decision is going to be.
Yeah, exactly that. Imagine that.
Add it later, like they've done with Village. Like, add it as an option later, and then if you want to go back and change perspectives, you can. But I do not want to be sitting there thinking, right, I've got performance mode, I've got quality mode. Now I've got which perspective I need to play. I'm like, oh, bloody hell. Might as well go on the PC.
What about a hybrid game, though? So it's fed to you. Like, mm-hmm. These chapters are in first, these are in third. How would you feel about that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, why not? Absolutely, why not? I remember, like, the Evil Within 2. Not, I don't know if they promised that, but I remember reading that it's got two perspectives in it. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. And it's literally, like, one section where you're, like, crawling through pipes. And I was like, well, that's not... That's not what I meant. It's clearly not. But they seem to be, you know, they're doing like Resident Evil 4 in VR. So they are like, even the third person, they've given a first person spin. I do wonder whether that's something they're looking into, is like some level of hybrid perspective. And if there's a narrative way to kind of make that make sense, all the better. If not, fine. But yeah, that would be pretty cool just to go through that. And probably a nightmare to program, mind you, but that's not my problem. Yeah. Just here to play the game, thanks. But interesting thought experiment nonetheless. Well, look, I think that'll do for Shadows of Rose and Resident Evil Village. Maybe if you do ever go back to it in third person, I might ask that you do a little voice note that we sometimes drop in the little voicemail just to get an opinion on that. But obviously no pressure to do so, as there's plenty of other games always to be getting on with. And Resident Evil Village, Shadows of Rose, gets itself a nice silver from both myself and Adcock. But nothing more for us to say other than thanks for your time and ta-da.
This was a DIMP Digital production.